book of Isaiah, the sixth chapter today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for just the gift of your presence with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, as you come, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand the truth of your words before us as they unfold. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My fire department radio toned. Chaplain 171, respond to Van Giesen west of Bypass Highway. The dispatcher alerted me that there had been a fatal accident. The motorcyclist had died instantly. As I arrived on scene, the state trooper asked if I would be willing to drive clear to Finley to make the death notice. So I was sent with the most terrible news. "I'm sorry, ma'am. Your husband has been in an accident, and he won't be returning home tonight. In fact, he won't be returning home ever again." Sometimes when you make yourself available to the Lord in his work, he sends you into very difficult situations. And this is certainly true for the prophet Isaiah. But before we get there, we have a couple young ones in the back, and we don't have our children's church teacher today. So guys, maybe you can make your way back to your mom and grandma and grandpa. There you go. They're looking down the aisle like, what are we supposed to do now? Isaiah hears from the Lord in chapter 6. In verses 1 through 4, he is blessed to see what not many see in the time of Isaiah, and in fact, in all of Scripture. In the year of King Uzziah, of his death, Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord." The Lord, he said, is high and exalted, seated on the throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him, seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. We're in about 740, and this is when the king of Israel, a very powerful and loved king, Uzziah, died of leprosy. The Assyrian kingdom to the east of Israel was just beginning to get their feet under them, and Israel was going to know the power of the Assyrian kingdom as they begin their forge west into Israel. The people of the state of Israel at this point, these Jews, were mocking God. They had turned away from him. They had turned their backs on him. And it was Isaiah who was then given a vision of the Lord. "Do you see the Lord high and exalted? Do you see that he is seated on a throne?" The people of Israel would know what Isaiah is talking about because in the temple, in the innermost sanctum, the Holy of Holies, was a throne where God was presumed to be seated. And now Isaiah is somehow, by this miraculous vision, seeing the Holy of Holies. And the train of the robe of the Lord filled the temple. In the time of Isaiah, the train of a robe marked the identity of rank for the people of Israel. And so you can imagine this train that fills the Holy of Holies, the temple itself, is huge. Well, of course, God would have a huge train to his robe. And these heavenly creatures, the seraphim, are winged and flying around praising God in worship, declaring God's worth. This picture that Isaiah has is very similar to the vision that the Apostle John had when he writes in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. God was calling Isaiah to deliver difficult news to the people of Israel. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, we go back a little bit to get a glimpse of what the people were doing. And verse 4 reads, "Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him." God was calling Isaiah to give this word to his people. You think he was excited about this? I don't think so. In fact, though, before Isaiah was sent, God needed to teach Isaiah a few realities. The first is found in verse 5. As Isaiah sits in this vision in the Holy of Holies, all of a sudden the contrast between him and God becomes so great that he cries out, "Woe to me! I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Have there been any others who have seen the King with their eyes? None who lived. And now here's Isaiah seeing God. He's thinking to himself, "There's no way I'm going to survive this." And yet, Isaiah comes to understand from the Lord that though he is a sinful being, God will use him. You can almost hear Isaiah's cry to the Lord, "How, God, can you love me, a sinner?" And even furthermore, you can hear his words from his heart that say, "How can you, God, not only love me, but use me for your glorious purposes?" It's a gift, really, in the end, that God calls and sends Isaiah to be his mouthpiece, to speak for the people of Israel. And the lesson we learn from Isaiah about our own calling when God is preparing to send us is that before God uses us, before God sends us, we must first accept that we are but sinners ourselves. And here's the paradox, the irony, the tension. These are the very kind of people God always uses. Have you read your Bible lately? God calls those who are weak that he might be evidenced as strong. God calls the sinner that he might be seen all the more in his glory. We think of perhaps the best example of this, and those are the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, whom Jesus went out early in the morning and he prayed before he called them. He came back into Galilee and began by name calling each of these disciples. Simple men, sinners. And yet God uses those who sin. And so Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord. There's an obvious and evident contrast between himself, a sinner, and the Lord, his God. And yet God receives him anyway. Verses 6 and 7. Here comes the gift now of forgiveness for the sinner. A glorious God, a sinful human person. There must be something that brings these two together in reconciliation. Then one of the seraphim, these are these heavenly beings that are, by the way, only listed here in Isaiah one time. We don't know much about them. But the seraph flew to Isaiah with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, says Isaiah, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Coals were used in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to burn sacrifice. And so the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies on one day of the year. This would be the Day of Atonement, and bring in this unblemished lamb and sacrifice it before God. And so a coal that's from the altar, a coal we presume that is used to bring about forgiveness and healing, to burn away blemishes, touches the lips of Isaiah. And why the lips? Because Isaiah would be speaking the very words of God. And so his lips were touched to be made clean, and his sins were forgiven. Before God uses us, before God sends us, we must receive his forgiveness, his atoning sacrifice. Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord in his vision. He understands himself to be a sinner, and he receives the gift of the atoning sacrifice of God. Today, that atoning sacrifice comes only through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That is the last and the only sacrifice that we need for forgiveness of sins. And when God forgives us of our sins, he is ever more preparing us that he would send us into a broken and hurting world. And then lastly here, having seen the glory of the Lord, having received forgiveness for the sins that are all the more evident before God's throne, Isaiah embraces God's call. Verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Do you hear the words of Isaiah in response to this plea, to this call, to this petition of him? "And I said," says Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Isaiah is now putting himself in a position of responding to God's love by availing himself, by surrendering, by submitting before God. In his sinfulness, yes, but forgiven and made pure and right before God. And now fully surrendering as a response to God's love, Isaiah says, "God, I'll go. For us," says God. This is Holy Trinity Sunday. Did you know that? Did you read the front of your bulletin? Holy Trinity Sunday is the Sunday that we celebrate the gift of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was blessed again yesterday afternoon to do another baptism at the river. So I've got two under my belt in the last 2 weeks. So I'm looking for a third. I want to keep the streak alive. Noni, all right. But as Amanda and I were in the water with young Brecken, 16-year-old boy, who had made a profession of Christ before those who were gathered, we dunked him into that Columbia River in the name of the Father and the Son and raised him in the Holy Spirit. What a gift that was, and a reminder that we baptize in the name of the triune God. You may notice that when we get together on Sunday mornings in worship, we're always reminded, we invoke the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the God who is calling Isaiah, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah surrenders. He steps up to the call. He knows what the call is, right? He knows he's going to a people who have turned their back on God. And yet, he says, here am I, Lord, send me. Before God uses us, before God sends us, he reminds us that we are but sinners. And he gives us forgiveness and uses us for his glory. This week I was at the coroner's office. See what an exciting life I have. And I was asked a question that I get all the time. Do you like being a chaplain? And I responded as I normally do. Not really. Who would like this work? I said. But I can do it. And I do it because I have seen the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. I do this work because I know that I am but a simple sinner, but totally forgiven. And I have surrendered. I have submitted to God's call to do this work, even this very difficult one, because I believe God has said to me, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I have responded by saying, here I am, Lord, send me. What is God calling you to do? Something equally important, something that he has prepared for you, something that he is depending on you for. Are you willing to go? Will you say, here am I, Lord, send me? Amen.